Hello, English 10. This will be a brief audio following from the last audio file that I posted, and also following on the heels of conversations that I've had with a number of you today. And I want to make a couple points. The first is that, again, and this is something I said in the last installment, but I don't want you to overthink the instructions. You are simply tracing a theme or a question or a research problem, a topic, through one of the texts on our syllabus. So have in mind the lecture on harvest that I gave to you or presented to you on Monday. Some of that lecture was really in the mode of the paper that you're writing. We traced out the theme of consent. We looked at particular moments, particular lines. G2 saying, I might be bought, but I will not be sold. That's a rough paraphrase. Also, how to understand Jaya's gesture at the end. There were other concrete aspects or moments in the play that we went to, but it was all part of tracing out this question. What does it mean to think about consent? How do we understand Jaya's gesture? Is it a moment of resistance? But again, topic, play. And I introduced just a few moments from the film Dirty Pretty Things, the very brief clip from Rebo the Genetic Opera, a few frames from a comic called Harvest unrelated to the play, or the anthropological analyses. These were all or could be classified as secondary texts, right? So again, the lecture was in a way the mode of the paper that you're writing. So the first point I want to underscore is you shouldn't overthink the instructions. When we ask for close reading, we simply mean you need evidence. You're going to make a claim or a descriptive statement about your literary artifact or the object about which you're writing, the play, the poem, the essay, and you'll need evidence for that claim. So your evidence is simply your citation, your quotation, your analysis, your explication of the passages from the text or the lines from the poem that you've chosen. Okay, the second point to underscore is that it really is up to you where and how you use that second text. So if you were to think about it and produce a kind of reverse outline of the lecture that I gave to you on Harvest, you might notice, okay, that comic came at the end of section one as a way of punctuating the question of consent, and that is one of the main motifs of the play. The Dirty Pretty Things came in the middle of the second part of the lecture because it seemed as if it would function well as an illustrative example to sort of just sketch out the terrain, to understand that we were talking about actual people giving, donating, selling their organs for money, for passports, etc. Right? Or the use of Repo, the Genetic Opera, that came at the very end when we were looking and trying to understand Jaya's gesture. So each was placed in the lecture in order to serve a certain rhetorical function, to set out the terrain or map out the terrain, establish kind of foundations as illustrative example or as kind of, you know, climactic sort of punctuating point at the end. We're sort of building to this big problem, and we need another visual example in order to sort of anchor whatever claim we're going to make about this moment in the play. So again, you will think about your second example in the same terms. How best to use it will be up to you. It may be that your second example comes at the very beginning where you're setting the stage and you're wanting to draw the reader in and lead her or him into your analysis of your again, sort of literary object. Or it may be example in the middle, it may be punctuating point at the end. These are not the only ways you could use your second text, but I just wanted to give you some examples so that you are clear about the idea that you do not need to march through your paper going A, B, A, B, right? So again, no formula, no 50-50 schema. How you use the second text, I'll just say it one more time, is up to you. Okay, hope this helps.